Today we're going to talk about money, and everybody says, yeah. I like it. I tell you, we live in a time and day and age with our economy that it's so uncertain. The stock market, it's troubling times. It's going up and down like a roller coaster right now. If you're looking at the job market and the foreclosures that's going on, it's all over. It brings nerves to a lot of people. We live in a day and time where there's a lot of struggle. You've been to the grocery store lately? You priced out some hamburger lately? You got to be kidding me. Food prices, families are struggling. And so as I start today, I want to be really upfront with you. One of the things I like about Mark, he's not a health and wealth preacher, name it and claim it kind of preacher. If you name it, it's yours. And I don't buy into all that, and I know some guys do. If you just tell God what you want, poop, you're going to have a mansion on a hill. Well, I'm going to tell you, one day I'm going to have a mansion on a hill, but it's probably not going to be here. And so I look at this and I say, you know, this is not where it's at. Some people say, name and claim it. I'm going to name that Lamborghini and I'm going to be driving it next week. I don't think so. I don't think I'd even register to be able to drive it off the lot right now. But I just want to talk about just some good teaching from the Bible. That's what I want to talk about today, is just some good teaching from God's Word. I believe with all my heart that we're not here. And Mark's not here. I'm not here. Your staff's not here. When we talk about money, I'm not here to make anybody feel guilty. If you drive a nice car, most people drive a nice car and those things, well, they work hard to have it. And God's blessed them and made some moves for them. And yet, you know, ultimately, I'm grateful for them. And you should be too. And so I believe that one of the areas in our life we can have great peace in is in our finances. And I also believe one of the most gut-wrenching, anguish places in our life that cause pain is finances, if we're not careful. And so we want to talk about money today. I think the timing's great. I think the series timing is wonderful because God doesn't talk about money because he's about to go broke. I just want to clear that up with you guys today. God's not about to go broke. That's not why we're having a four-week series on money. God's okay. He's okay. Last time I checked, all the banks are his, all the cattle's his, all the gold's his, all the silver's his. It's all his, right? He's not about to go broke. The reason we talk about money, the reason God talks about money is because he wants to develop us. He wants to develop our hearts. So I need to assume a few things. I'm going to assume a few things today. And if I got this wrong, then I'm sorry. But I want to assume a few things just so I have a platform to start on, if that's okay. I'm going to assume that everyone here wants God's guidance in their life. God's wisdom in your life. Everyone here wants God's provision in your life, God's direction in your life, because he's really, really smart. My God is really, really smart. Matter of fact, he knows more than anybody. We could put all our minds together in this room, and we still don't know what he knows. Wouldn't even come close. The Bible talks a lot about money. Matter of fact, it talks more about money. Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell. Jesus told 38 parables, 11 of them, Darren, was about money. The truth is, maybe we don't talk enough about money. If we look at comparison to how much Jesus talked about it and how much we talk about it, maybe we need to talk about it a little more. When we look at some stats, 64% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. The average household credit card debt is $5,700. Nobody seems to be surprised at that. 64% of American workers are expected to retire with less than $10,000 in their savings account. That get anybody's attention? 43% of the U.S. workers anticipate outliving their retirement. 66% of millennials, I'm not going to pick on millennials, but I won't pick on you just for a second. So hopefully you're not in the 66% here. But 66% of millennials don't have any money put away for the golden years yet. If you're a millennial, start saving a little bit in the retirement fund. I recommend just basic thing, and 10% to God, 10% to your retirement. Live on 80%. That's an easy one there. 44% of people, money matters, dominate their stress life, or the dominant source of stress in their lives. More than personal relationships, money dominates and stress in their life. Shoppers blow around $5,400 a year on impulse shopping. Now, where's Kylie at? Now, honey. Kylie has informed me, my daughter Kylie back there, Karen, she's informed me that I don't know how to shop. She said, Dad, just sit in the car or sit on the chair. You don't know how to shop. And apparently, I shop wrong somehow, Charlie. I shop wrong. I didn't know there was a wrong way to shop. I get in the store, get out. I don't want to look at everything, just a couple of things, what I need. And out of there, Kylie says, you're not fun to take shopping, Dad. This might be for you, honey. Impulse, if you take this $5,400 and you calculate it over a lifetime, that's $324,000 over your lifetime in impulse buying. 65% of parents say that children under 18 said they'd be fine to adding to credit card debt during the holiday season. 48% of U.S. adults report losing sleep over finances. 48%, almost 50%. In the years of counseling I've done, and they say the stats are this, 80% of the people that come and having marital problems, it has to do most of the time with one of three issues. It has to do with communication, money, or sex. Now, Mark, I'll be glad to talk about money, and I'll be glad to talk about communication. You get the sex. I ain't doing that. My face will turn red, and my mama's sitting right over there. So that's all you, brother. That's all you. Not me. My face just turns red. It's probably red right now. I'm sorry, Ruth. If money could talk, what would it say? If money could talk, what would it say? Your money's direction reveals your affection. Your money's direction reveals your affection. Let's say that together. Your money's... The Bible has a way of putting this, Gene. It says it like this. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's the way Scripture put it. So your money direction reveals your affection. So where is your money going first? Where is your money going first? It's all God's money. Mark talked about this in the first time. It's all God's money. It all belongs to Him. We all agree with that, amen? I mean, it's just on loan to us. We're just simply managers of it. And let me let you in on a little secret. Here's a little secret. When you die, all that money goes to somebody else. And they don't deserve it. Most of them don't deserve it at all. They didn't work for it. They didn't sacrifice for it. They don't deserve it at all. And it's just going to be given to them. Handed over. You can't take any of it with you. You leave it all behind. Ecclesiastes 5:15 says it like this. We all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day that we were born. You can't take your riches with you. That's what it's saying. You're allowed to use it for a portion of time. That's it. You're allowed to use it for a portion of time. Everything is on temporary loan. Temporary loan from God. Matthew 6:33 says it like this. This is a key verse. Let's say this together. But seek first. And all these. Seek what? Not second, not third, not fourth. Seek first. This is a biblical principle that we need to talk about. Seek first. If you want God to bless an area in your life, put Him in number one in that area in your life. You want God to bless your family, make Him number one in your family. You want God to bless your work? Well, make Him number one in your work. You want God to bless your finances? Well, preacher, that's none of your business. No, you want God to bless your finances? Make Him number one in your finances. That's why when people come in, the state come in and said, the homeless shelter we were running, how do you have such a high success rate in getting people on their feet? I said, it's not us, it's God. And her head began to spin when I said, we teach tithing in the homeless shelter. Her head began to spin. Why? Because I believe in this principle. Whatever you want God to bless, make Him number one in that area. You want Him to bless your finances? Make Him number one. You don't want Him to bless your finances? Well, make Him two or three. Watch what happens. I serve a God that wants to bless His children. He loves His children. I don't know of a father that's healthy, a healthy father that doesn't want to do good for his kids. And so, in this area of money, God says, I want to be first. I don't want to be second. I don't want to be third. Seek first the kingdom of God. Your money's direction reveals your affection. So, who's in control of the money? Who's in control of the money? You think about that. Who's really in control? Luke's down here. He says, well, of course, Carrie is in control of the money. I don't need control. Carrie's in control of that checkbook. The question is, are you in control or is God in control? Are you in control of the money or are you allowing God to be in control of the money? Are you seeking God's advice on how you spend His money? That kind of hurts, doesn't it? Are you seeking God's advice on how you spend His money? Who's in control? It's arrogant and flat ignorant to say, I'm the master of my own fate. It's just flat arrogant to say that. When we look at Daniel chapter 3, I love this story. Anybody just love the Old Testament stories? I love the Old Testament stories. And here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're there. They make the king really mad. Because they say, we're loyal to God. We're not loyal to you, buddy. You can hang it up. We're going to worship God and Him alone. We're not going to worship any statue you put out before us. Hang it up, buddy. It ain't going to work that way. King gets furious with them. Matter of fact, he fires the furnace. Remember the story? He fires the furnace up really hot. Hotter than it's normally. The outside, it's like the wood stove, the outside. You ever had a wood stove red on the outside? I have. That's the way it gets sometimes. The stove pipe's red. That's the way the furnace was. They grabbed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you know their feet and hands had to be tied to throw them in a place like that because, man, mine would have to be tied. They threw them into fire, burns off the rope that binds them. But there they are. They're walking around. They're walking around in the furnace. King's kind of confused. They should be burning up, but no, they're not burning up. They're walking around in the furnace. Remember the story? Then the king says, hey, come on out here. They come out, and they're giving them the sniff test. They're giving these guys the sniff test. They don't even smell like smoke, king. They don't even smell like smoke. They've been in a furnace. The hairs on their arms not singed. There's no burns on them. Something's happened here that's not normal. And then King Nebuchadnezzar humbles himself and he says it like this. Praise to God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He goes on to say, there is no other God who can rescue like this. There's no other God who can rescue like this. And we go one chapter over to chapter 4. Just one chapter over. Just 12 months later. 12 months later. How quickly we forget sometimes. Anybody guilty of that? Forgetting how quickly God is faithful? How quickly God has provided and stood up for us? Just a year later, here's King Nebuchadnezzar on his high horse, or should say on his high roof. It's 1429, or excuse me, Daniel chapter 4, verse 29. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace of Babylon. As he looked across the city, he said, "Look at this great city of Babylon. By my own mighty power." Does that sound arrogant or what? By my own mighty power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. While the words were still on his mouth, while the words were still in his lips, don't you like that? While the words were still coming out of his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer the ruler of this kingdom." That quick. He's up there bragging about how great he is, about his mighty power. And then the voice comes from heaven and says, "Hey, dude, it's not your kingdom anymore. Not your palace anymore. Not your gold anymore. Not your silver anymore. Not your power anymore. Not your army anymore. You're done. You're fired. You'll be out of the palace here soon." That's God shutting down the king who thought he was all of this. It is arrogant and flat ignorant to say, "I'm the master of my own fate." You think God didn't have anything to do with that? You think God didn't have any presence in that? You think it was just you? Really? God has the power to open up the floodgates or shut them down with or without your permission. Doesn't need it. So everybody worries about the stock market and the economy and things that's beyond our control. Instead, we need to be focusing our lives on things that please God and honor God. That's what needs to happen. Let me say, what happens on Monday morning when Wall Street opens up is not nearly as important as what happens in God's house when God's Word is opened up. Not nearly as important. I believe with all my heart that God can open the doors of heaven and open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing, or He can shut them down as well. Isn't it amazing to me and you? What's the first thing somebody do when they run into a little financial problem? You ever notice this? Who gets cut first? When a little bump comes in the road with finances, who gets cut out of the budget first? Y'all know who. God does. God gets, what about your affection? What about all that affection you was talking about? What about that love and all that stuff toward God and the direction your money reveals your affection and all of that stuff? What about that when things get a little bumpy? We say, I need to pull that money for myself now. That's kind of like saying, I'm starving to death, but I'm not going to eat any of that food because I'm starving to death. Have you forgot where the blessing come from? What's that say to God when we start taken from Him real quick? What's that say about our affection toward Him? We either trust God in His Word or we don't. That's key. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding." Brothers, sisters, friends, God is the one that's in control of the money. It's all His. It's all His. Do you trust Him enough? Do you love Him enough to trust Him? Your money's direction reveals your affection, so why is your money going there? Isn't that an interesting question? Why is your money going? You ever ask that question? Why is my money going there? You ever do a budget and you think, wow, why is my money going to buy so many Reese cups, and why in the world is my buddy buying so many Pepsis? You know, you ever done a budget and had to list out everything? Why is all that money going there? I think sometimes God looks at us and says, why is your money going there? Me and Malia, we had a long dating season in our life. We dated for a long time. After about a month and a half, I decided she was the one, and hopefully she decided she was the one. Within 2 months, we were engaged. 6 months, we were married. I waited way too long. I should have done that in three. I should have done it all in three. If I had it to do over, maybe done it in the first month, Stanley. I don't know. I could have done it all in 1 month and been this happy. I waited way too long, 6 months. That was, we met and got married within 6 months. But I went to find that ring, that special ring. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I got to confess, Charlie, me and you, we're a little bit of a like in some areas. Me and Charlie's a little bit of a like in some areas. I like to use cash. Charlie, you like to use cash, don't you? My credit card, it gets dusty in my wallet. I don't like to use a credit card. My wife will tell you, I don't like that. I like to buy things in cash. I've been known as being just a little bit cheap. Charlie, you've been accused of that too. You've been accused of that too a time or two by a certain person around here. I don't believe him. I think it's frugal. It's frugal. Being conservative with your money, I agree. And I'm a little, I got to tell you, I'm a little tight. I mean, that's my sister's nodding her head yes right now. Yeah, that started from early on, long before I was married. When I was young, I was a little tight. And so I went to look at rings, and you won't believe how much those things cost. Man, she's going to get one ring for the rest of her life. So I went and kind of choked in, and I got a Charlie, I went in debt. I mean, I couldn't pay cash for all that thing. I had to take out a loan to get this ring. I was choking on that. Because, man, I'm frugal. When I go to a hotel, you just sleep there for a few hours. That's all you do. I mean, all you do. Your eyes are shut most of the time you're in the hotel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's no reason to spend $100 a night on a hotel. Kids, you can wear your shoes. I know that carpet's nasty, but wear your shoes. Anybody agree with me on that? You just sleeping there? Yeah, there's some people agree with me on this. Honey, you see all those people agree with me? Kylie, don't you shake your head at me, honey. No telling stories after church either. You behave yourself. So I went, I bought something I couldn't pay cash for. I took out a loan to get this ring. Why? Because I wanted her to know how much I loved her. I wanted her to know how special she was to me. And so I did something with my finances that stretched it to say, honey, I love you. You need to understand why your money is going the places it's going and why. Because that's most likely the place that's important to you or the person that's important to you. That's why you sacrifice like that. Because that person is so important to you. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I guess the other end of this is that I'd be doing you a disservice if I didn't tell you about another side of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, verse 14, "You must not worship any other gods of the neighboring nations. The Lord your God who lives among you is a what?" My God's jealous. My God's jealous. And let me say, He loves you. He wants your affection. He wants to develop you. And He doesn't want you to hold stuff and love it more than Him. He wants you to know how special He is by the gift that you give Him, by the heart that it's given. And if you don't want to give money with the right heart, you just keep it. Nobody wants a gift where you're gritting your teeth, as Aaron said in Sunday school this morning. He was talking and said, nobody wants a gift where you're gritting your teeth at and handing it over. That's not the God I serve. He wants you to He wants you to give a gift because your heart is right, that you love Him, you care about Him. Maybe the old story goes that little Jenny was shopping with her mom. And I don't know why in these stores. They lay these stores out so when you go by the grocery store to check out, they should have cans of spinach and sardines there. No, they don't. They have Reese cups and popsicles and all the good sweet stuff laying right there for your kids to see and try to reach it while they're in the little car. And they put it close so the little long arms can reach out there and get them and tear them open so you have to buy them. Little Jenny was with her mom, and they had necklaces near the cash register. "Oh, Mom, I need this necklace, a little pearl necklace down there. $1.95. Need a little pearl necklace. $1.95. Mom said, "Well, honey, you come home. We'll find some extra chores where you can earn your money, and we'll come back and we'll get that necklace." So little Jenny goes home and she works really hard. Mom gives her a few extra chores and she's doing her best because she wants that pearl necklace, and she gets to the point where she can get a hold of that. She says, "Mom, let's go to the store. I got the money. I've earned the money. Let's go to the store." She goes to the store. She gets her little pearl necklace. She puts that $1.95 pearl necklace around her neck, and she wears it everywhere. It's like a boy with his favorite T-shirt on. You know what I'm talking about? They wear it 4 days a week. That's their favorite T-shirt. They're going to wear it every day. That's their favorite. Don't need wash. Just good. It's good. It's the fourth day. It's not the fifth day yet. I'll wear my lucky T-shirt every day. Well, she's wearing these pearls every day. Mom says, "Well, honey, you might not want to wear them when you swim. Might not wear them when you take a bath. They'll turn green." So that's the only two times she takes them off, is when she takes a bath and she goes swimming. She feels so beautiful when she wears them. She feels a little older when she wears those pearls. One night her dad comes in, tells her a story, kisses her on the forehead and says, "Little Jenny, can I have those pearls?" "Oh, no, Dad, not my pearls. You can have my white horse. My favorite one I like to play with. You can have that. It's in my toy box. You can have it, Dad." He said, "No, I don't want the white horse." Two or three nights later, he comes back in like he does every night. And I think when you tuck your kids in at night, if you don't tuck your kids in at night, you need to. I don't care if they're in junior high. Go tuck them in. It's good for them. Don't look at me. Don't be looking at me like that. Don't be looking at me. Let your mama come in and tuck you in, Chloe. I mean, that's good. Let your dad come in, too. He's a good man. And so I look at this, and I always enjoyed it. I mean, that special time. Even when I did junior high camp, I tuck all the boys in at nighttime. I go to each bed and talk to them for a minute. I liked it. Dad comes in, and he's tucking her in and tells her a little story. And, "Hey, Jenny, how about those pearls?" "Oh, no, Daddy. Oh, no, Daddy. You can have my favorite doll and a blanket, too. But not my pearls, Daddy. I don't need your doll, honey." He brushes back her hair and kisses her on the forehead. About three nights later, he, like he always does, he comes in, and there's little Jenny. She's sitting on the edge of the bed. She's not laying down this night. She's sitting on the edge of the bed, and her little knees are tucked up, and Dad comes in, and little Jenny has her hand all fisted up. And she, tears are coming down her cheek and little chin's a quivering. Dad says, "Honey, what's wrong?" And that, you know how his fathers are. Your daughter's crying. You want to figure out what's wrong and go find out who made it and make them pay a little bit, because they, no one should hurt your daughter's feeling ever, ever, ever. I mean, that should never happen. That's just in the Bible somewhere. I'm not sure where. Maybe First Jimmy somewhere. I don't know. But she takes her little hand and she pushes it out. Her dad opens his hand up and she drops those pearls in his hand. Her tears are just streaming down her cheek, and she lays down and she said, "Daddy, I love you." So the dad, he puts the pearls in his pocket and he reaches in his other pocket and he pulls out this little blue box. And you know what's in the blue box. He opens that blue box and there's no $1.95 pearls in there. It's the real thing. And he opens it up and says, honey, this is for you. This is for you. Daddy loves you. Brushes her hair back and kisses her on the forehead. Don't you understand? Your Heavenly Father's not about to go bankrupt. He's just waiting to see if you're going to release what you have into his hand or what you think you have. Because it's all his to begin with. Are you going to be open enough to at least share with him? Because you love him. That's the God I serve. I don't think this is one area God challenges in our finances. You can't outgive him. You can't outgive him. So we've been asking questions today. So the first question is who? Who's first? Are you? What are you putting before God? Who's first? Is God first in your family? Is God first in your finances? Is God first in your work? Is God first in your thought life? Is God first? That's I think that probably hits all of us, at least in some area of our life, doesn't it? Is God first? Who's first? Second. Who's in control? We like to think we're in control, don't we? Anybody like that? I am. You're not in control. You know how helpless you feel when you're laying in there in a hospital bed? You know how helpless you feel when they take your kid back for surgery? You know how helpless you feel when you find out you're sick? You realize that you're not in control of much. We just think we are. Truth is, he's in control, right? I mean, I'll go see Jim today, but driving down the road with his wife, they were discussing where they're going to eat at. Imagine that. Driving down the road, discussing with your wife, where are you going to eat at? She coughs, squeals a little bit, and grabs your arm. You grab your phone, you call an ambulance as you're pulling the car off the road, and by the time the ambulance gets there, she's no longer there. That quick. We're not in control. We just think we are. We just think we are. We get arrogant when we think we're in control. And why? Why? The why in life is really important because you can't skip that question, why. You can't skip that question, why? My question is, why haven't you gave it all over to the Lord yet? Why would you leave here? Why would you leave here and not be right with the Savior? That's on everybody. Why would you want to leave here and not be right? Last weekend, I grab one of these people who have these Mountain Mission shirts on and talk to them for a minute. You'll have to shut them off because they'll keep going. But they'll just keep going and going. Just shut them off when you're done. But grab one of them, ask them some questions, and watch them talk. Last Sunday morning, this group of people had these Mountain Mission shirts on. We gathered and we prayed that God would do something in a service. And God blessed the whole weekend. From the time we got off the bus to the time we got back on the bus to come home, God blessed it. We can't take credit for it. It was something God put together. But we get in there at the end of service and we come down to give the invitation hymn. And these kids start coming down the aisles. I'm not talking one or two. I'm not talking 10. I'm talking 40, 50 kids coming down the aisle. And they're kneeling down at the stage, and the stage is wooden, and the tears are coming off their cheeks, Mark, and falling on the stage. You can tell where the kids were by the tears that's on the stage. And they just want to say, Lord, I want to be right with you. I don't want to leave here and not be right with you. One young man said, I want to be a preacher. One young man hit it before the Lord and said, I want to be a worship. That place was where my dad decided to be a minister while he was there. Raised from the streets, fighting and carrying on and going to this place and deciding right there that where his life would end up being at. These kids all gathered up and they're praying and giving their hearts to the Lord. Service is dismissed. I mean, here's Kathy and here's Vivian and different staff members up there that, God bless Vivian, I know it took her out of her comfort zone. Kathy, I didn't worry about you. She was right in her comfort. She hugged every kid on stage, but not Vivian. Vivian was stretched a little bit, but she couldn't sit no longer. She come and just started praying with the kids down there, and different one of the staff members. Service dismissed. 15, 20 kids sitting in their seats. No music playing, no nothing, nobody talking to them. They just sitting. 15, 20 kids sitting there for 20 minutes after service just to make sure when they leave that they're right with the Lord. Why would you leave here? Why would you leave here this morning and not be right with the Lord? We want to have a hymn of invitation right now. And I don't know what area God's not first in with you, but how about we take this morning and we'll stay as long as you want to, that we can get this right. Why would you leave here and not be right?